Many blessings to you all, and welcome to your journey in faith with the Reverend Dr. Amos Chewachong. Our text for reflection is 2 Thessalonians 3:6 to 13. 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, verse 6 to 13. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, we command you, brothers and sisters, to keep away from every believer who is idle and disruptive, and does not live according to the teaching you received from us. For you yourselves know how you ought to follow our example. We were not idle when we were with you, nor did we eat anyone's food without paying for it. On the contrary, we worked night and day, laboring and toiling so that we would not be a burden to any of you. We did this not because we do not have the right to such help, but in order to offer ourselves as a model for you to imitate. For even when we were with you, we gave you this rule: the one who is unwilling to work shall not eat. We hear that some among you are idle and disruptive. They are not busy, they are busybodies. Such people we command and urge in the Lord Jesus Christ to settle down and earn the food they eat. And as for you, brothers and sisters, never tire of doing what is good. My theme for reflection is coffee, to-do lists, and the holy calling of work. Coffee, to-do lists, and the holy calling of work. My to-do list sometimes multiplies overnight like loaves and fishes, except without the miracle. By breakfast, I am already bargaining with the kettle. Make it strong. I have got Thessalonians to get through today. Paul's line, "The one who is unwilling to work shall not eat," is well known and sometimes misused. But if we listen closely to 2 Thessalonians 3:6 to 13, we see that Paul is dealing with more than simple laziness. He is confronting disorder. Some in the community were refusing to engage in meaningful labor, and with too much idle time were stirring up trouble, fracturing trust and weakening the church's witness. How does God address it? Through the apostolic example. Paul could have claimed patronage. Instead, he made tents so that his message stayed free and his life stayed accountable. He tells the church to keep away from persistent disruptors, not to crush the weak, but to protect the community and call wanderers back to quiet, constructive faithfulness. Settle down and earn the bread you eat. It is admonition with dignity and hope. This is not a cudgel against the poor or the sick. In a world where many work two jobs and still cannot afford rent, Christians must be careful with slogans and generous with justice. The politics of work ethic in Scripture is never a denial of social safety nets. It is a summons to a culture where everyone who can contributes and everyone who can't is carried along. Or as late Pope Francis puts it, work is a necessity, part of the meaning of life on this earth, a path to growth, human development, and personal fulfillment. But why does work matter beyond a paycheck? Psychology helps us here. Self-determination theory shows that humans thrive when three needs are met: competence, relatedness, and autonomy. Good work, paid or unpaid, can satisfy all three. We grow skills, we serve others, and we steward responsibility. The job characteristics model likewise finds that task significance and feedback make work deeply satisfying. No wonder Paul links work with peace. When our labor builds up others, our hearts are steadied and our communities flourish. So a Christian ethic of work is both personal and political. Personally, we reject idleness and meddling. We take responsibility for the tasks entrusted to us, knowing our work, whether spreadsheets or nappies, carpentry or caregiving can be worship. Politically, we advocate structures that honor workers, living wages, fair schedules, honest metrics and pathways for the sidelined to re-enter meaningful labor. Do not grow weary in doing good, Paul urges. That includes doing good in human resource policies, shop floors, kitchens, classrooms, wherever the Lord has stationed us. And for churches, we imitate Paul's transparency and generosity. We help each other find work, celebrate unseen faithfulness, and offer gentle correction when someone's free time becomes everyone else's burden. The gospel is a free gift. The life it births is industrious love. There are two questions for reflection. Number one, where might I be tempted to work mischief rather than do the quiet, constructive tasks love requires of me this week? Number two, how can my workplace, paid or unpaid, better reflect the kingdom through fairness, encouragement, and service to the common good? And now our practical exercise. Name one concrete task you have been avoiding that would strengthen someone else, a colleague, neighbor, or family member. Do it today, quietly, thoroughly, and as prayer. Lord of every craft and calling, you labored in creation and rested in delight. Forgive us where we have shirked responsibility or stirred disorder. Strengthen our hands for good work, our hearts for steady love, and our communities for just practices that honor every worker. Keep us from growing weary in doing good. May our labor build up people and places, and may our rest be filled with your peace. Through Jesus Christ, who finished the work of our salvation and invites us to follow him. Amen. May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be and abide with us all, now and forevermore. Amen.